And let me pray. Gracious God, put your words in my mouth and breathe life into them by your Holy Spirit, and open our hearts to receive them. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please be seated. Firstly, it's really good to be with you here this morning. It's such a blessing to confirm Josiah, and we pray together that God will richly bless him and that he will grow in faith and hope and love and be a wonderful witness to Jesus throughout all the days of his life. I always say to people who are being confirmed that they should make sure they feed the fire of faith. My chaplain, Laura, who comes with me to all the services, is just waiting for me to say that. She's like, when's he going to say, feed the fire of faith? And she teases me about it. Feed the fire of faith. It's a nice phrase for you to remember. We have to feed the fire of faith. And I'll say this to Josiah afterwards. And by that, what I mean is, we can completely trust God, of course, to never leave us. God is always with us, closer than our breath. But we have to take responsibility for ensuring that our faith in Jesus grows and is growing warmer, not cooler. God doesn't do that bit of work for us. God helps us with it. But like a fire, you have to keep putting fuel on it for it to stay warm and to blaze. If you don't attend to a fire, it gradually goes out. You have to attend to the fire of faith, feeding it with regular prayers and worship, study of scripture, coming to church, receiving spiritual food and drink at the communion table, serving others, loving others, forgiving others. All of these things feed the fire of faith and keep it burning. So I encourage you in that, and we together can encourage Josiah in that. So that's one thing I want to say, because we've had a confirmation. People of God, feed the fire of faith. I noticed as I went through the order of service that you have in your order of service a prayer for a new vicar. So that's going to happen in a bit once I've finished, I guess. The intercessions will happen and there will be prayer for the new vicar on the screen. And that's fantastic. It's good to see that you're praying for just the right person, that God will send you just the right person for this new season. And it will be a new season. It won't be what has been. It will be what is to come. And God will send you just the right person. So I want to encourage you in your prayers and to encourage you to trust, as we've been singing, actually, that God is faithful and kind and compassionate and will send you just the right person. So I want to encourage you to believe that God is working and calling the right person. It may be a brief waiting time. It may be a bit longer. Who knows? God will call the right person. And God will do what God needs to do among you as you wait, to be prepared to receive that person and all that God has made them and is making them. So be encouraged. This is a wonderful community, a wonderful group of people. And whoever comes will be greatly blessed to be among you. And I pray that you will be a blessing to them too. And that God will surprise all of you by what God does. God is always and everywhere doing a new thing. It won't be as things were. It will be whatever God is leading you into. And that should surprise you. There should be some surprises. This congregation, the life of this community, shouldn't look as it does in a year and 2 and 5 and 10 years. That isn't because anything's been bad or wrong. It's just because God is always doing a new thing. So there will be new things to experience. So be encouraged as you wait and as you pray. In our gospel reading just now, we heard Jesus say these words. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I could just pause now and say, put your hand up if that's you. All right, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I used to walk past the church in a previous job, and they had that on their notice board in really big letters, and I thought it was a great thing, because most people walking past, of faith or no faith, would be able to go, yeah, you know what, on some days that's me. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a beautiful offer. Yeah, and if I said, hands up if you want to take up that offer, you know, I guess that's everyone's hand, right? I will give you rest because he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Jesus was sharing those words, the people standing around him listening were desperately trying to find God and be good. They were finding the tasks impossible. They were driven to weariness and despair. Jesus' invitation is for all those who are exhausted by the search for truth. The Greeks had said, Jesus would have known this, it's very difficult to find God, and when you found him, it's impossible to tell anyone else about him. That was the current thinking in Jesus' time. That's pretty desperate, right? It's very difficult to find God, and when you found him, you can't tell anyone else about him. It's like, Zophar, in the book of Job, had demanded of Job, can you find out the deep things of God? As if it just simply isn't possible. And W.B. Yeats, the famous Irish poet and mystic, wrote this, can one reach God by toil? In other words, no. He gives himself to the pure in heart. He asks nothing but our attention. The way to know God is by giving our attention to Jesus. It's in him that we see what God is like. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and weighed down beneath your burdens. That is what God is like. God says that. Words are God's words to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These are God's words to us. This is what God is like. God is concerned about your burdens and your weariness and your heavy ladenness and wants to give you rest. For many of those who were listening to Jesus when he spoke these words, religion was a thing of burdens. Jesus himself had said in the Gospels, the Pharisees placed heavy burdens on the people and did nothing whatsoever to help them carry them. Those listening to Jesus lived in a forest of religious regulations. They dictated every action. They were forever listening to the voice which said, "You shall not." And here, in these beautiful words in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus invites those who are listening to take his yoke upon their shoulders. At the time, the phrase the yoke was used for entering into submission to. Jesus knew that. So if you said take on the yoke, it meant you were entering into submission to something. So they spoke of the yoke of the law. You were to enter into submission to the law. Enter into the yoke of the commandments. You put the yoke of the commandments on. The yoke of the kingdom, the yoke of God. And of course, Jesus knew this, but it may well be that he took his invitation when he said, take my yoke upon you, took his invitation from something the listeners could see all around them in the fields. Ox yokes are made of wood. You put a yoke on an ox so you can fit a plow to it, or put another ox next to it and fit a plow so you can plow your soil. In Jesus' time, the ox would be brought to the carpenter's shop and the measurements taken. Obviously, every ox is a different size and shape, right? Your ox looks a little bit different to the next door neighbor's ox. It's got a particular bone structure and so on. So you can't just have one yoke fits all. The ox was brought, the carpenter would take some measurements, and then the yoke would be roughed out by the carpenter. And then the ox would be brought back and the yoke would be tried on. And the carpenter would then make careful adjustments so that the yoke would fit well, fit your animal just right. It's in no one's interests for the yoke to chafe the hard-working ox. You need that ox to be in good condition because it's going to provide for you and your family. You don't want a yoke chafing it and making it sore and blistered and the animal can't work properly and then you're going to not have as much to eat. That's in no one's interest. Everyone wants the yoke's got to fit well so it doesn't hurt the animal. The yoke was tailor-made to fit the ox. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, everybody listening would have known that yokes were tailor-made to fit the animal that you put them on. I heard an apocryphal story, right? So this is very much an apocryphal story that said this, that the carpenter Jesus made the best ox yokes in all of Galilee. People would come from all over to buy the best ox yokes that skill could make. And obviously in those days, as now, there'd be a sign above the workshop that said what you did. And the story goes, the sign above the carpenter's shop in Nazareth said, "My yokes fit well." That's a lovely thing, isn't it? A lovely thought. My yokes fit well. The yokes made by Jesus. Of course, there's nothing in the Gospels to substantiate that story. But when Jesus says, "My yoke fits well," what he means is, as you put your faith in me, as you put your trust in me, as you follow me, as you walk into the life that I give you, it is not a burden to cause you weariness and pain and despair and desperation. Rather, your task as you follow me will be tailor-made to fit you, just like a yoke is made exactly to fit the ox upon which it is put. That doesn't mean it's always easy. Oxen have to work hard, right? They pull a plow up and down in the hot sun. It's not, Jesus isn't saying, follow me, you won't have to work hard, it won't be challenging, it won't be difficult, there'll be nothing difficult about this. Quite the opposite. To follow Jesus involves a great deal of challenge, often. But he is saying, the yoke fits well. Take my yoke upon you. It won't chafe. The task God gives you will be tailor-made to fit you. God didn't give it to someone else. He gave them a different task. And only you can discern with God what that task is. But you shouldn't be thinking, goodness, it's really difficult. This must be all wrong. God must have got something wrong, or I must have got something wrong, because this is far too difficult. I didn't know I was entering into this. Following Jesus, of course, is challenging. Of course it is. Life is hard and challenging. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. When we take up the yoke of Christ, we find a deep peace and satisfaction which you cannot find elsewhere. It is not available anywhere else. Now, that doesn't mean that you always feel peaceful or you always feel satisfied, of course. But it means at the deepest level, at the most profound level of your inner being, your soul, the who you are, at that deepest level, as you take the yoke of Christ upon you, you will find peace for your soul and satisfaction. Because the task isn't a task and finish, got it done, what's next? It's a lifetime of transformation that leads into the age to come. This is much bigger than we often imagine. So Jesus says, my burden is light. And I guess I'm wanting to point this out and highlight it because I want to encourage us, including myself, as we follow Christ, we follow the one who said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am humble. I'm gentle in heart. You will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. One rabbi had said, my burden has become my song. And that's a nice way to think of this. Our burden, the burden God lays on you, may not always be easy to carry. But it's laid on us in love. And it is meant to be carried in love. And love makes even the heaviest burden light. Just a little story to illustrate that. A couple of days ago, last Saturday, in fact, I was walking our dog in the Clent Hills. I don't know if you've ever been to Clent. There's a car park and you wind your way up of quite a steep hill and get to some standing stones at the top and you can see all of the countryside spread out. You can see across to the Malvern Hills. Anyway, it gets pretty steep. So I was about halfway up and there was a young couple in front of me and like student age couple, and they were obviously very much in love, and they were sort of laughing and joking and pushing each other and bantering around. And then the girl jumped on the guy's back, and he started to give her a piggyback, but he's going uphill, and it was really hot. And I'm thinking, I wonder how long he can keep that up for, because that looks hard work. And but he did, all the way to the top, all the way to the top. The burden was light, because the guy's in love. Easy. Easy to do something when you're full of love. Very hard if you're weighed down by other things. That is what the Lord Jesus lays on us, a burden laid on us in love. And it is meant to be carried in love. And when we remember that the love of God is what's laid on us, when we remember that our burden is to love God, to love others, to love the people here, to love those in the community around us, to love even those we find difficult to love. When we remember that our burden is love, it's laid on us in love, then the burden becomes easier to carry. I read those words again, and I pray that God powerfully sinks them into your heart and allows them to take root and to grow and to bear fruit in your heart that fleshes out into your life and into your understanding of what it is to walk with Christ and to serve others. I'm going to read these words of Jesus again. They're living words for us. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As each one of you continue to walk closely with the Lord Jesus, may you know the truth of this promise that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. May you know it to be true. May you apprehend it and live out of it. May it be so. Amen.